Part 2. The Last Day. Chapter 12. The Primogenitor's Rage. He knew he was dreaming. It didn't help. It didn't make anything less real. The smells were no weaker. The pain was no fainter. "Get to the ships," he said aloud. He could sense Varial moving around the chamber, though he could see nothing outside the pictures his mind was painting. The tests being run on his blood, on his brain, on his heart, none of it meant anything, for he felt nothing at all. "Get to the ships." "Peace, Talos," came Varial's voice from a great distance. "Peace." He couldn't remember a time of peace. There had never been peace in the purgatory of Sagualsa. His first memory of the last day was the sunrise. They came for vengeance as the weak sun rose. Sagualsa's star was a cold heart at the system's core, a source of anemic thin light that scarcely brightened the lone world in its care. Its pale radiance spread across the planet's lifeless surface, at last painting bleak illumination across the battlements of a black stone fortress. On the plains, a dust storm was brewing. It would crash over the fortress within the hour. Before Mercutian, before Varial, before Uzas, there was Sarzel, Reuven, Zal, and Sirion. Sarzel was the one to come running. His boots pounded across the battlements as the heavens caught fire. "They're here," he voxed to Talos. "They've come at last." In a moment of divine atmospheric poetry, it started to rain from an amber sky. In the years following the Primarch's death, more and more warbands cut loose from Sagualsa's skies and took their raiding deeper into the Imperium. Many were already carving out havens in the Great Eye with the other legions, spending as much time waging war against former kin as against the minions of the false emperor. A battle fleet of staggering size rested above the grey world's barren face, each warship marked by the winged skull of the 8th Legion. Here was a fleet that could devastate entire solar systems. It had done so before, many times. Across the Sagualsan system, rifts in reality tore open in the silence of the void. They bled foul, demonic matter into the clean silence of real space, while shuddering battleships strained their way back into the material universe. As with almost all warp flight, there was little cohesion, no alignment of arrival vectors and formations maintained through the rage of Empyrean flight. Instead, one by one, the invaders burst from the warp and powered towards the grey world. At first, they matched the Night Lord's numbers. Soon, they overshadowed them. As the battle began, by the time the skies of Sagualsa started to burn, they eclipsed the 8th Legion fleet completely. More warships arrived with each passing minute, vomited from the warp and streaming trails of poisonous mist. They needed no formation. They needed no strategic assault plan. That many ships needed nothing else to win a war. The Primogenitor chapters, the 13th Legion in all but name, had come to end the cancer of heresy once and for all. Captains and commanders filled the Voxnet with recriminations, with orders no one else was following, with tactics few souls were willing to hear. Talos remained on the battlements, listening to the thousands of screaming voices. Always in the past, the screams were those of their prey. Now the cries were torn from the mouths of brothers, brothers that had survived the heresy and the 2 centuries of warfare since. One order was damning in its repetition. He heard it over and over again, screamed and cried and yelled, "Get to the ships! Get to the ships! Get to the ships!" "We have to defend the fortress," Talos voxed back to his commander. The Exalted's voice was a bass drawl, rasping and wet over the scrambled vox.
"You do not see the madness taking place up here, Prophet. The 13th Legion will crucify us if we remain." Vandred, we cannot abandon all of the fortress's resources. There is no time for this, Talos. Dozens of our warships are already running. We are more than outnumbered. We are at risk of being overwhelmed. Get back to the ship!
The Prophet activated his Nathesium gauntlet, tracking First Claw's armor runic signifiers. Zarl and Sirion were close, perhaps in one of the armories nearby. Sarzel waited only a few meters away, listening in to the vox chatter. Reuven was deeper in the fortress, doing the gods only knew what.
Vandred, said Talos, we are already seeing drop pods coming down. The sky is aflame with engine wash. Of course it is. They outnumber our ships 5-1. We can barely keep them from orbital bombardment. Do you think we have any chance of preventing them making planet fall?
Talos watched the pods raining down, trailing fire from the sky.
This is Talos to all 10th Company Claws.
His voice was merely one of many, strangled in the miasma of conflicting vox traffic.
All Claws, get to the gunships. We have to reach the Covenant.
As you command, Soul Hunter,
replied several squad leaders.
Soul Hunter, he thought with a cringing sneer.
The name given by his father for the killing of a single soul, avenging his Primarch's murder. Talos earnestly hoped that the ludicrously theatrical title would fade out of use in the years to come. The fortress was not without defenses. Even as enemy gunships shrieked over the battlements, even as drop pods plunged through the scorching atmosphere and impacted in the ash wastes, along the walls and in the courtyards, the fortress itself resisted the assault. Anti-air turrets spat hard shells into the sky, hurling thunderhawks to the ground in flames. Servitor-manned weapons platforms aimed at the landers coming down on the ash wastes, launching missiles and eye-aching streams of laser fire at the vehicles grinding their way overland towards the high walls. Talos ran across the battlements, Sarzel a step behind. As they passed turret platforms, their helms' audio sensors passed down the crashing chatter of autocannon fire, as well as the strangely monotone shouts of gun-slaved servitors mumbling their aiming vectors aloud. The black stone beneath the legionary's boots shook with the rage of the fortress's response.
The gunship is in the Western Quadrant secondary hangar, Sarzel voxed. That's if it's not stolen by another company before we reach it.
Aye. The explosion from nowhere hurled them from their feet. Talos stumbled forward, smashing headfirst into the rampart wall. Sarzel tumbled across the stone, slipping over the battlement's edge. Chunks of servitor and weapon battery rained down, clattering off Talos's armor as he hauled himself back to his feet. Above them, the enemy gunship, its hull painted in royal blue and clean imperial white, angled away as its rocket pods reloaded. A thunderclap of thrust sent it streaking through the sky again, seeking more turret platforms to destroy.
Sarzel,
he voxed, blinking to clear his senses. His retinal display retuned to pierce the smoke, but a more tellingly mundane disorientation clouded his eyes for a moment. The only reply he received over the vox was a grunt of effort. Talos saw the hands gripping the battlement's lip. He offered his own as his brother hung there 200 meters above the desert below. The weight of the immense las cannon chained across Zarzel's back prevented the warrior from pulling himself up with ease.
My thanks,
Sarzel voxed back as his boots thudded on the cold stone again.
That would have been a singularly ignoble way to die.
Perhaps you should leave the cannon, Talos said.
Perhaps you should stop speaking madness.
The Prophet nodded, hard to argue with that. They met Zarl and Sirion in the armory level of the closest spire. The walls shook around them as the tiers of autocannons rattled and banged, filling the air with noise. Gunships whined overhead, several ending in the piteous wails of engines spiraling down to the ground. Zarl wore his wing-crested ceremonial helm in the midst of looting the armory. A crate of replacement chainsaw teeth tracks was weighed against one hip.
I can't find any melted charges, he told Sirion, without looking away from his plundering.
Sirion nodded to Talos and Sarzel.
Tell me you have a plan.
The chamber gave a horrendous shudder in time to the tectonic thunder of battlements giving way nearby.
And tell me it doesn't involve fighting our way across half of the fortress to get to Dirge. These Imperial dogs are inside the walls. We won't survive a long journey.
Talos drew his chainsword. In that case, I think it best if I remain silent. Where's Reuven?
Zal finally turned from his looting.
Who cares?
Get to the ships. The vox chatter was a repetitive storm of voices all saying the same thing. Get to the ships! Get to the ships!
With the legion scattered, the fortress will fall, said Zarzel. We were fools not to remain united.
Talos shook his head.
The fortress was always going to fall one night. Unity was never an option with the Primarch gone. We are fools, but only for still being here when so many of our brothers have already taken to the stars.
They met resistance 3 levels down, as their boots hammered across the black stone floor of a primary thoroughfare corridor. Dead slaves lined the walls, some wearing the Legion's blue uniform, others in the rags that made up their only remaining possessions. Each of the bodies lay in burst repose, broken apart by bolter shells. Blood lined the walls in an uneven layer of greasy, stinking paint. Talos held up a fist and opened his fingers, making the hand signal to spread out. As his armor's kinetic systems recognized the gesture, corresponding runes flashed on First Claw's retinal displays, relaying the order.
The invaders decorate the same way we do,
Sirion noted, eyeing the bodies as the squad moved apart.
Focus!
Zal grunted in reply. Sirion lowered his bolter and withdrew his Auspex. It crackled as it tuned into their surroundings.
Contact, he announced. Dead ahead and moving back this way. They've either got scanners or they heard us coming.
Talos checked his bolter as he crouched by a gore-streaked wall.
Sarzel, he said.
Without a word, the warrior braced against the weight of his las cannon and lifted it to aim down the corridor.
Are we shooting this out?
Zal asked.
No.
The prophet listened to the approaching bootsteps.
Charge after the initial burst.
Talos felt his teeth itching, alongside the telltale ache in his tongue and gums as the las cannon drew in power. The consistent thrum made the hair on the back of his neck rise, despite the sanctity of his armored suit. Their foes were disciplined veterans, too canny to fall prey to easy traps. They fanned out at the corridor's junction, taking cover where the hallway joined a large chamber beyond. Both squads immediately started the crashing exchange of bolter fire. Chunks of stone flew through the dusty smoke of shell impacts.
They're bringing up a heavy bolter,
Sirion voxed, his auto-senses filtering through the smoke.
He's moved behind the left wall.
Sarzel,
Talos said again. The las cannon drew in one final exhalation of energy before roaring down the corridor with a discordant fream of unrestrained blue-white power. The blade beam of crisp sunbright force burned through one of the stone walls, disintegrating a hole clean through the torso of the warrior taking refuge behind it.
They're not bringing up a heavy bolter anymore, Sirion noted.
Until someone else picks it up,
Talos replied.
Another volley, then charge.
The las cannon shuddered in Sarzel's hands, rattling and steaming with the expulsion of force. Another of the distant enemies clattered down in a heap of ceramite-clad limbs. First Claw drew their blades and started running. No more than 3 minutes later, they almost ran headlong into another enemy squad. Another claw was pinned down at the far end of a sparring chamber, returning a decreasing level of fire as the Imperial Space Marines gunned them down. Talos dropped into a crouch, leaning by the wall and raising his bolter. Where Gilliman's sons worked and fought with absolute efficiency, First Claw moved with the shadowed, ragged remnants of discipline. Talos gave no order to fire this time. He didn't need to. Their bolters opened up with throaty barks, utterly without unity, picking their targets with impunity. Of the seven remaining, three went down under the fresh hail of fire. The four Imperial Space Marines turned to face this new assault, half the squad moving to divide their fire with inhuman precision. Their armor was a clashing mix of gray and green, their shoulder guards marked by eagles of silver. Sarzel leaned around the corner long enough to unleash a single shot, blasting a tank-killing stream of laser through the groin and thighs of the squad's gray-helmed sergeant, annihilating him below the waist. Three left.
"I remember these bastards."
Sarzel lowered his cannon, brushing away stone debris from its power tubing. Pressurized air, scalding enough to melt skin, vented in a hissing cloud from the weapon's bulky generator. Talos remembered them as well. The Silver Eagles and the Aurora chapter had beaten elements of the Eighth Legion back from a series of targeted void raids only a handful of years before.
"We need to do this quickly,"
Zarl voxed, holstering his empty pistol and revving his chain blade.
"Who's with me?"
Sarzel shook his head.
"A moment."
He braced again, lifting the cannon and leaning around the corner while First Claw gave covering fire. The las cannon bucked in his fists, thumping back with violent recoil as it screamed out a beam of savage light. The torrent cleaved through one of the last Imperial warriors, disintegrating his head, shoulders, and chest. Two left.
"Ready,"
he said, lowering the overheating cannon. Stress veins along the weapon's side were protesting now. The barrel would need replacing soon. First Claw charged forward as one, chain swords grinding down against Ceramite and pistols kicking at lethal range. Sarl and Talos took the kills, the former decapitating his enemy, the latter tearing his foe's helmet off and feeding him the muzzle of a bolt pistol. The sergeant, bisected by las cannon fire, still lived. He dragged his way across the floor, nothing more than a legless torso. Sirion and Zarl circled him, looking down and sneering.
"No time for games," Talos warned them.
"But..."
Talos's pistol banged once. The shell blasted the sergeant's head and helm to shrapnel, clattering against their boots and knee guards.
"I said, no time for games!"
First Claw moved across the chamber, through the wreckage of sparring equipment, to the squad they'd saved. Only one remained. He was crouched by the bodies of his brothers, looting them for weapons, ammunition, and trinkets.
"Sergeant,"
Talos greeted him. The legionary sucked in air through his teeth, lifting a chain axe from a warrior's lifeless fingers. He cast his broken bolter aside and stole another from a second corpse.
"Sergeant," Talos said again, "time is short." "Not a sergeant anymore."
The Night Lord rested a boot on the back of a slain warrior. With the axe, he severed the corpse's head and dragged the helmet free.
"I lost the duel to Zal Haran."
He placed the helmet on his head and sealed the seams at his collar.
"Now I have Zal Haran's helm, and he is carrion, a poetic cycle."
The warrior looked at them for a long moment, while the fortress shook to its foundations around them.
"First Claw," he said, "Soul Hunter." "Uzas,"
Talos said to him,
"we have to go."
He grunted, uncaring of the saliva stringing down from the edge of his lips.
"Very well."